you like this sweater? Jared Leto gave it to me, and I've always been on the fence about it.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You either like it or you don't like it.
I mean, I like it because Jared Leto gave it to you, and he was my first kiss, but I don't know if I like it.
That's not really an answer.
I feel really bad. I feel like there's something burning in my throat.
Oh, my God. Well, you could have answered the question by now, so I guess I'm wearing it.
Dad, can you bring me some juice?
Be right there, honey.
Yes, we'll be right there.
I knew this day would come, John. Isolated, impoverished, cut off from all medical services. I only prayed it wouldn't be Alexis.
It's just a cold, Moira.
Oh, it's always just a cold, John, until it's full-blown typhoid.
I don't have typhoid.
Well, of course you don't. What are the chances of that? Do you remember Valentina, our chambermaid in Little Martinique? We all thought she had just a cold until it was too late. I'll never shake the mental image of her frothing and flailing in that water taxi.
I can still hear you.
We love you, Alexis! Don't we?
We love you, Alexis!
Tell her you're gonna bring her the juice.
I am bringing the juice, Moira.
John, don't touch her.
Oh.
This is as far as I go, Alexis. One of us has to stay safe for David.
I'm already in the room.
See, we're still alive, Moira. I think we're gonna be okay.
Of course you are. That's the spirit. I'm just going to close this door until you're done. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We are a Shits Creek podcast where every other week we cover another episode of the series in chronological order. My name is Paul McCambridge. I'm one of your two hosts, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I am good. I am ready to talk bagels.
Okay, great.
Ready for breakfast.
Wow. Well, we're recording early in the day, so.
We are. I should have brought a bagel along.
Right. I don't think we have any.
No. They don't really have good bagels in our neck of the woods, I don't think.
They don't.
We need Bob's Bagels.
Right.
We need a nice little bagel store to provide us with and satisfy our bagel needs.
Yes. Yeah. So we are talking about episode 5 of season 2, Bob's Bagels. The original air date was February 2nd, 2016. This is interesting at the top here. It's directed by Paul Fox.
Mm-hmm. Who we've heard about before.
Yes. This is his 8th directed episode so far. And he has, I would say, according to you and I, a pretty spotty record.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't really paid much attention. But now that we're deeper into this, he's directed.
Does he have, like, Not Our Faves?
Not Our Faves.
Oh, Turkey Shoot.
Turkey Shoot.
Little Sister.
Little Sister.
Oh, I don't know.
Allez Vu.
I like Allez Vu.
It's down near the bottom of your list.
I know. I like that one, though.
The Jazza Gals, another one near the bottom of our list.
Wow. Paul Fox.
The Cabin, another one that's, I think these are the bottom of your list, or at least those are like 5 of the bottom 6 in both of our lists.
Huh.
The only thing that...
It's a shame, though, because, like, you know, Turkey Shoot, I could tell right away. Like, that one's fun, but it's not one that's at the, you know, definitely that's,
and Little
like,
Sister.
A favorite. And Little Sister is also fun, but...
No.
Yeah, like, I don't know. But you know me. I struggle to not rate things as favorites, all of them, because they're all great.
No. I'm not saying that. And also, we're halfway through the second season, not even.
Right.
So it's a short list right now. But I just,
yes.
I found that interesting. I think the one that he's done, Don't Worry, It's His Sister, you didn't like that one. That one's higher on my list.
Yes. So, not that I didn't like it. You have to
I'm
stop
sorry.
Saying that.
I'll
we like all of these.
That.
That's why we do this podcast.
Okay.
Because we enjoy every episode. And you're forcing me to make decisions.
Right.
About ones that are better than others.
Okay.
And it's a struggle.
We
the struggle
don't
is
do
real.
That anymore. Okay. But anyway, I found that interesting. The other thing, and he'll stick around through the third season as a director. After 2017, he doesn't have any more Schitt's Creek credits to his name.
After what?
2017.
Oh, 2017. Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. This is a 2016 episode. Okay.
Also, this is the final episode for Chris Pozzebon as a writer.
Okay.
It's his fourth and final writing credit. Yes. He wrote The Drip, Alley Vu, and Surprise Party before this one.
Oh, okay.
And he will remain an executive story editor through this season. But again, his last writing credit, and he will not be here beyond season two of the show. So I'm going to say that, you know, in season three, I think we're going to get a whole new group of writers and probably more directors coming in. So it should be interesting. So that's all I have to start this out. So
all right.
We can open the episode.
Well, we open with a name drop immediately.
Right.
Right away. I like David's sweater.
Yeah.
I like a good poncho.
I don't see the big issue.
I thought it was fun. Yeah.
He's worn more bizarre clothing that is not commented on than this sweater, which seems to be a big deal.
Yeah. I liked his sweater a lot. That it's from Jared Leto.
Yeah.
And he's always on the fence about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Alexis.
Oof. Do you know a lot of times I've heard that Alexas will respond when people are watching Schitt's Creek and they hear Alexis?
I could see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
isn't that fun?
Practically the same thing.
Yeah, we need to. Our daughter has an Alexa, and we really should bring it down and see what happens.
When she says Jared Leto, we'll get Jared Leto movies? Or, like, what's it, look him up online? What's Alexa going to do?
Oh, I don't know. She just responds.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's kind of fun.
All right.
You know. Okay, never mind.
We'll check it out. No, I'm not saying that's not fun. I don't know that it's worth the energy to bring it downstairs.
Oh, my gosh. It's not like it's an 800-pound...
No, you're right. It's very tiny.
Something. I don't even know. Never mind. Let's move on.
She always freaks out when it gets unplugged because it, like, has to reboot itself or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know either. Anyway, we don't know what an Alexa is. So Alexis she's sick, she does respond to Jared Leto. He was her first kiss. So she likes that about him, but she's not sure about the sweater.
Right. Yeah. But she is sick. She has a burning in her throat.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And did you find it interesting that we're only five episodes into this season, but there's already been an episode where Alexis is not in the episode until the last scene, and in this one she's just in bed the whole time. I'm not saying there's a reason for this, but I found it really bizarre when I was watching this that she never.
Yeah.
I know that
I didn't really think anything of it.
I don't think it's a plan.
I thought it was some good comedy between she and Moira.
Yes,
like it lent itself well to that.
Right. I don't think it's a bad plot point, but it it struck me as odd that only a couple episodes ago she was not around and now she's stuck in a bed and she can't even leave the room.
I think there's a lot of things though that happened because of this. Like I said, the fun comedy between she and Moira.
Yes.
Also, we get to see Mutt's sensitive side.
Yeah, well, we've been seeing his weird sensitive
side.
But
again,
recently.
Like they're, you know, I think they're really trying to like make him appear to be a good boyfriend.
I'm wondering.
Which I still feel like you kind of cheated on Twyla, so I can't look at you as a good boyfriend.
Right. You know, I never liked him in the first place. Wait, did he cheat on Twyla?
I don't know.
Or were they already
There was definitely up? Interest. I mean, maybe not officially cheated.
Right.
But still. You were, I don't know. Like, you were still.
So you think they're, are you saying the writers are going out of their way to make him seem like a better character or a more compassionate character? Or
I don't know. I don't know. Or maybe it's just, well, I don't know. Because now I feel like what I'm sort of thinking is maybe a little bit spoilery.
Well, don't spoil.
Right.
I'd like to think that everybody's watching this in real time.
And now they watch right along with us.
And because
I'm
of our delay, they were like, oh, I have to wait 3 weeks and I can only watch one 20-minute episode? All right.
Oh, thanks to all our listeners out there.
Yeah.
All two
Everyone,
of them.
Yeah, everyone's watching one episode every 2 weeks, parsing out their Schitt's Creek 2 episodes per month.
Okay, well then I don't. Then should I just say what I'm thinking or no?
You can say whatever you're thinking. If
I just if it's feel like terrible, they are trying to show like he's being a really good person to her, and she's gonna drop him.
Oh.
So I feel like, again, like, she is just not, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even though he's going out of his way to really do nice things for her, get her a bike, get her. But it's also, I think, showing, like, they're not.
Oh.
There's no more than a physical connection between them. He doesn't get her.
Yes, definitely with the bike thing. Right. I don't think that has anything to do with what's happening in this episode, though.
But again, I think it's showing how nice he is. She doesn't know how to react to nice guys. She couldn't react to Ted. Ted was too nice. Yes. Now Mutt is falling into the too nice category as
well. Got it. Okay.
They're getting on each other's nerves. Like, she doesn't know how to handle someone who treats her differently than Stavros. I can't ever say his name. But, you know, like, he was a dick to her all the time.
Sure.
And, like, she kept... kind of kept going back to him.
Yes.
She can't deal with these guys that are being nice.
Okay.
Like, she doesn't know how to handle that.
You're probably right, because that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's the only reason I feel like they're really laying it on.
Because if he didn't change, it would... Yeah, you're right, because if he didn't change, I think it would make it more difficult for that plot line of them breaking up to make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I'm just sort of thinking, like... She isn't used to people, guys treating her in a nice way.
But it's funny though too, because they just, I mean, he is treating her and it is an abrupt change, because it really was last episode and this episode where he's suddenly nice Mutt. Because before that, he wanted her to move out. He couldn't take it anymore.
Right.
So
yeah.
it really has been like a crazy abrupt shift since she moved out of his barn.
Right, right.
That he's being really
nice.
And
plus before that,
But maybe he thinks he needs to be nice because he was so mean for basically kicking her out of the barn.
Yeah, like he's trying to make up for it. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Alexis is very sick and Moira cannot handle it.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. She's like me with vomit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you do perhaps
stick
your head into our children's room just to make sure everything's fine.
No, mine is get into the bathroom as fast as you can.
Yes.
Don't stand on that carpet. What are you thinking? Yeah. I think there's a little bit of Moira in all of us.
Yeah.
In me, it's when our children are vomiting.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. Because I don't think you'd ever even crawl in bed with them.
If they weren't vomiting, I'd be cool with that.
Well, yeah, no, that's exactly what we were talking about.
No, because the kids always get sick in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you're always better about being like, oh, go in and settle them in and make sure they're okay. And you get up and do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're good with that.
I guess
you're good with that middle of the night sickness.
Yeah. Because it doesn't bother me.
You're the Johnny to my Moira.
I guess. He doesn't do much.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't do anything.
I like how she tells him. I know. I like how she tells him, don't touch her, John. And she said one of us has to stay safe for David.
Yeah.
And David's like, I'm in the room with her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moira is totally just overreacting. Crazy. Mm-hmm. She thinks she has typhoid.
Typhoid, like their maid? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like their old maid, Valentina?
Yes. Is that her name, Valentina?
And she talks about how she was flailing and frothing in the water taxi. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And basically the scene ends with Moira locking the door.
Oh, yeah.
The door that I guess Johnny put a lock in here now that suddenly works. Because that was a big deal in an episode.
Yeah.
He couldn't even put in...
the chain lock.
Yeah,
Alexis opened the door and it just broke.
Right, so now it's a bolt lock. Right. Someone fixed it, I assume... At some point, they got Roland to come in and fix it.
Because
she does
turn
the lock at the end of the scene.
Right. But then we jump to David and Stevie, a fun David-Stevie scene in the office.
Mm-hmm.
David's asking again about his sweater. And Stevie said that she admired his courage for wearing it.
Yes.
And David is searching for a job. He's talking to her about a job as a brand manager for an upscale boutique.
an upscale boutique, which is funny because I kind of forgot watching this stuff again.
Did you think there was really an upscale boutique somewhere?
No. Okay. I forgot that they were unaware it was the Blouse Barn. Mm. I thought from the jump he was responding to an ad for the Blouse Barn. He knew what he was getting into.
They didn't know that.
And it makes a lot of sense with last episode that he wouldn't, if he knew, he wouldn't do that, of course.
Right.
But I totally forgot that this came out of nowhere, surprised him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he does need a ride.
Yes.
You know, they go back and forth, but of course she is more than happy to help him get there.
Yes.
So now we go, because Johnny is still, quote unquote, working.
Yeah, in his office space.
In his office space at Bob's Garage.
Which, why?
I don't know. It's just to give us more Bob, which I'm never going to complain about.
Oh, I know.
So Bob and Roland are just hanging out in Johnny's office.
In his office, mm-hmm. which is like not, it's like out in the middle of the garage. So it really,
it's
like
out
anybody
in the open.
Could hang out in it.
Hey, now that
somebody
it's all
waiting
clean,
for their car to get fixed, I'm sure
it's a nice
hang
clean
out there.
Area for them to hang out in now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing card tricks. Roland's doing card tricks for Bob.
Right.
Like, I want to live in this town. I want to have their jobs. I want to just be able to chill in the garage in the middle of the day and do card tricks.
Nobody
Being the
does,
mayor of a town, apparently you have nothing to do.
You do nothing. He
it
just
seems
he just
like a good
mayors
gig.
And town councils, but
mayors.
But so does Bob. Like, I don't.
Well, we know Bob doesn't do anything because he just expected Johnny to take over the garage.
Well,
basically.
Right. Bob just seems to be anywhere they need Bob to be, because I don't know what his town council responsibilities are. But sometimes in the middle of the day, he's at town council. He's not at his garage.
Well, right, because he has like his little desk and everything at town council. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think anybody.
These people have
Stevie
great
doesn't
gigs.
Work. Stevie leaves in the middle of the day to drive David to a different town. Who's watching the desk?
I don't know. No one checks in. I think it's okay. I think she can just put a little sign that says "Be back in 5."
Right. Yes.
And go.
Or check
and
his,
I think
grab a key and I'll bill you later.
I don't know. Although for Carl's funeral, the Skaggy
people. Yeah, the people she was related to.
Well, right, but still, I'm sure she needed to assist them.
I know. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're doing card tricks and hanging out in his office.
Yeah. And Johnny mentions that he does have an office, that he is, that this is
he
a
has
business.
Work to do.
Yes. And Roland gets a little bit upset by this because he didn't fill out a permit or something.
He didn't register
like that?
His business.
Register his
which
business.
Which isn't even really a business. Mm-hmm. And then I like that Bob is thinking like, oh man, you're really gonna be in trouble for this, and he was like, if I could be a fly on a wall for this conversation.
That is wonderful.
And Johnny's like, Bob, you're in the room.
Yep. Bob doesn't understand what that expression means.
No, not at all.
Yeah. John, so the whole thing is, and I was wondering this of course in prior episodes, what is Johnny doing? What has he been up to? What does he think he's going to do?
Right.
And that's really what Roland starts asking him. And Bob's even interested, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny's just trying to think of, I guess, just think of.
Of an example of what he could do.
Well, he's thinking of
do.
The next big venture. His next big business.
Yes. Because Rose Video is no more.
Right. Yes. But he does give them an example. And the example is a bagel shop, because he cannot get a bagel.
There's not one there already. The town could really use one.
That's why he has to have muffins.
So he goes through kind of a whole
scenario
of creating a bagel shop.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Moira was supposed to go to a rehearsal.
Yes.
But she didn't. She ran all around town picking up medicine
and things for Alexis. Yes.
Yeah, so she returns. So this is a nice, rare Moira Alexis episode.
Yeah.
So she goes in to give Alexis all this medicine.
Right.
Kind of calls her ungrateful for the fact that she had to run around and get all this stuff.
Yeah.
Alexis wants her to feel her head.
To see if she has a fever. Right.
Fever.
Yeah.
I like how she tries to use the tissue.
Yeah, she throws like a tissue on her head. Then she tries to get Alexis to check it herself, to check herself for a fever.
Right.
And
Which works, right?
Yeah. I don't think so.
And
then Moira says that she blames her sickness on all those cold nights spent at the barn, half clothed, I think she says, or something to that extent. So yeah, Moira is still not being very motherly.
But Moira does finally feel her head and flips out when she feels that it is warm.
Right.
Totally freaks out.
Yep.
So now we arrive in Elmdale.
Yes.
Dave and Stevie.
At the upscale boutique.
At the upscale boutique, which is the Blouse Barn.
Right.
I like how David has
Blouse Barn.
I like how David has to fill Stevie in on how he
insulted
knows
the owner.
This place and how he's like, we need to go here.
This is not upscale.
Yes.
And I insulted the owner. And
well,
he
said that she may have, or she has questionable taste, mm-hmm. and he may or may not have said that directly to her face.
Yeah. So, yeah, so they're kind of outside debating what they need to
debating going in for this interview. Right. And basically, Stevie's like, I drove you all the way here. You're going in.
Right. Yeah, she's not.
Right. So now we're back at the garage, and Bob can't drop this idea about a bagel shop.
Oh, he's obsessed with this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally obsessed. Like, it's bizarre how interested in this mm-hmm. Bob is.
He's like, so what would you have to do in order to, like, put this into action?
Yes.
Because Johnny's like, well, you'd have to find a space, a bagel oven, a baker. Right. Like, he's kind of ticking off all the things that would be on the list, the to-do list,
the
if you were to start a bagel shop.
Yes.
Right. And Bob really thinks it's a viable idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bob also doesn't want to call him Jewish.
Right.
At one point, he says it feels like a swear. Yeah. And I like how he even says, what's the one you can't say?
Yeah.
This is just like a crazy interaction between these two.
Oh, totally. Yeah, like.
But I like how interesting it is, how just excited Bob is about this idea of opening a bagel shop. When the guy, as we said, won't even work his own garage. He wants to start a whole bagel business.
Yeah, he wants to venture into, like, a brand new business.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. But we go back to the Blouse Barn, and we're inside. We're in the back office.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah, the interview. Stevie convinced David to go in.
Yep.
And we see Wendy in there with David, and she is not going to give him an easy time at all.
I like how she says, this is quite the resume. If I'm ever in need of a performance artist, I know who to call.
Right.
She brings up Skanky.
Of course, you called my store Skanky.
She keeps saying Skanky over and over and over again.
Do you think my store's Skanky? You said it was Skanky. Yeah.
It's funny. She tells him that he has trouble filtering negative thoughts. I thought was great.
Yeah. But they basically go through, you know, she said, why would you work here? And he said, well, I think I can really help.
Yes.
And she says, you know, I'm looking for a partner who believes in my store. And he said, you know, do I believe that your floor is overcrowded? The mannequins are too busty?
Right.
That it smells like urinal cakes? So he ticks off all these things. But yeah, then he said, but I think your store has nothing but potential.
Yeah, I can honestly say that I see
nothing but potential. And then she basically says to him, I want to see you on the floor working with customers. So he kind of assumes that she's going to, like, say, get out. And
maybe the Blouse Barn is, you know, having some tough times.
Yeah.
And she thinks maybe a radical new direction or a huge change or someone that's very different than me, which isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
Like, if you're running a business and you're in trouble, why not try and bring somebody in with very different
ideas?
Yeah,
that has different ideas. Yeah. But I mean, I kind of think she should be able to kind of look at him and know that Elmdale's not ready for David Rose's ideas.
I guess.
That's the only thing.
But again, this is Wendy. We don't know a lot about Wendy right now, but I think the more we see Wendy,
she's
the more
just
sense
lovely.
This makes.
I love her.
Sure. Yeah. I like
she's
how this is kind of
funny.
Sassy Wendy because she's not a very sassy person. She seems very naive and
a little bit, yeah. But she's
here
she's like standing up for her business and you know. Yeah.
Yes. So Johnny is now eating. I guess he takes his lunch breaks at the cafe.
He needs
to leave the garage to get
out. Well, he said that's like the only place they eat every meal there.
Well, I'm just surprised he doesn't have anything brought in. But I don't know. Whatever.
I don't think so.
Not brought in.
I don't think the Cafe Tropical delivers.
He brought a muffin
to
his office. I just thought he ate there. But,
maybe.
He's pretending this is actual work. So yes. He goes out for lunch.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just relaxing.
Right.
In the cafe.
And he's approached by someone named Ivan.
By Ivan, yes.
Now, Ivan... All right, here we go.
Okay.
I'm going to really...
Oh, no. Ivan, this is going to be a bad name.
Ivan is not playing someone foreign. Ivan is foreign.
Okay.
So Ivan's name is Yasmin Yelizho.
Oh.
Don't know if that's right.
Mm, yeah.
But he's from Sarajevo.
Oh, okay.
He's been acting since the early 80s, but his first English role, American role, English-speaking role, was in 1999.
Hmm.
He was in many of the Canadian TV series that we've already talked about before that other stars and guest stars have been in.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in films such as George Romero's Land of the Dead, The Sentinel, and the 2005 remake of Assault on Precinct 13.
Oh.
So, you know.
Ivan's a busy little
Yeah, he's got a lot of credits to his name.
Yeah.
This is his first of two episodes in this show that he will appear in.
Mm-hmm.
But he comes in and introduces himself to Johnny. Bob's right behind him.
Right.
You know, this confusion doesn't go on for very long.
Yeah.
But we find out that he works at the local quarry.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to make an oven for free if he can then also be the baker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, that's very strange. Like, that's very strange. He doesn't say anything like, I know how to make pastries or anything like that. It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
He'll make the oven so long as he gets to cook in it.
Yeah. Maybe he's really good. Maybe he makes really good bagels.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And Bob gives Johnny a check.
Oh, yeah. Turn his dream into green.
Yep.
Yeah.
Johnny sort of does a double take at the check, but doesn't hand it back because Bob just like gives him the check and turns around
Bob's like, great, we're in business.
Right.
Not only do we work at a garage together, but now we're in the bagel business as well.
But honestly, I mean, from Bob's perspective and point of view, he has a baker, he has an oven, and he's giving the idea man some money to make this happen.
He didn't find the space yet.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I guess that's what
the
money is for.
Could you imagine? It would just be another section of the garage. You'd go in to get your car fixed and you could get bagels,
too. You could get bagels.
Now we're back at the Blouse barn.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet an old friend of
Darlene.
Ours. Darlene from the...
Grocery store.
Who was training David.
Yes.
In bagging groceries.
And she's a fabulous in this little scene at the Blouse
barn. Oh, she's great.
Barn.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she is her usual sad self, Eeyore, let's call her.
I don't know, and not that I needed this, but I find it interesting that there's no recognition or no callback to, just like a little line like, weren't you the lady who trained
the bag?
Like, I'm surprised they just didn't do that, and maybe deleted scenes, whatever.
Yeah.
But I am kind of surprised
that
that's not in here. Because it's not like she comes in playing a different character or just some random townie. I mean, she is clearly the same person the way she's playing this.
Yep. Yeah. And so he's assisting her, which is not easy.
Yeah,
she doesn't like anything that he's showing her.
Right.
So then Stevie comes in because she's been sitting in the car the whole time waiting.
I can't believe he didn't just tell Wendy, like, I got to run outside. I have a ride.
Right.
I just have to tell him to come
back. But again, like, I don't think David would think of that. You know what I mean?
Not.
Like, he just probably assumed Stevie would just hang out and wait for him.
Or it's like he forgot how he got there.
Right, yeah. So then Stevie comes in and he's kind of like, okay, you need to go along with this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course she picks out some like
super
really inappropriate outfit to wear to what her...
I think it's her niece's communion.
Or something.
But she also needs to bring it to her husband's trial, too.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, and it's like this, like, cheetah-like bustier kind of thing. Yeah, totally, like, inappropriate.
Yes.
And she's being really loud and, you know.
Oh, it's
Wendy,
great.
Of course, is watching their interaction and stuff. And David's ready to just crawl under the busty mannequins.
Right.
And hide.
But I love how after this interaction with Stevie, he's all flustered and basically turns around and Darlene just goes, these are stupid.
Yeah, Yeah, he's like, so we have two options. And she's like, these are stupid. Yeah, that was
really great. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Super funny.
But now we're back at the motel.
Yes.
And this is, we sort of talked about it, well, extensively earlier. Mutt is now taking care of Alexis.
Yep, he's hanging out there comes with her. In. Yeah. Yes. This is when she comes in with the cold medication.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, this is
before right. It was just so like an interaction. Yeah, because I had a note here that she brings in the cold meds and she's kind of jealous in a way. Like,
oh, sure.
She's upset that Mutt is there taking care of Alexis. Well, meanwhile, she didn't want to do it. So, and she says, you know, that she hopes she doesn't have mono with her symptoms and lifestyle.
Right. And this is where Mutt says, but I don't have mono.
Right.
She's like, well, there, you might not. There could be others.
She said there could be others. So they have a funny little interaction there.
Yes.
And she's feeling something, her maternal instinct.
Yes. It's nice.
Yeah.
Moira, you know, we see growth in these characters, and I always like that when that happens in episodes. And we see her becoming more motherly, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
As motherly as Moira could be at this point in the series.
Yep. Yeah, no, definitely.
Right. But she did, as I sort of said earlier, getting, you know, the episode out of order, she has sacrificed her Jazzy Gals rehearsal to get her medicine, which is a really nice thing.
Yes.
Now, Roland is waiting for Johnny in his office.
Yes.
And he's offended that he's been
cut out of the bagel business. Right. Oh, and that Ivan might be in the KGB.
Right.
He says as well.
This is so bizarre. It's so bizarre how just a dumb example of an idea. And suddenly Roland thinks he's part of this business.
And is upset. Yeah. He feels like he was cut out of it. And Bob is like, he's giving him, you know, gave him a check and everything else. Because then Bob shows up and he even has the name for the business, which of course.
Bob's Bagels.
Bob's Bagels. What else could
which
it be?
Which is a great name.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, just in trying to find out the little bit of information, like when this episode aired, if you type in Bob's Bagels in Google, this episode's not the first thing that comes up. There are multiple Bob's Bagels.
Oh, I'm sure.
All over the place.
Right.
So, yeah, I like the name.
Yeah.
After he says the name, though, Johnny seems upset. And he's like, this is not happening. And and Bob seems to think it's the name that's the problem. It kind of, you know, he gives him his check back, returns his check.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears to be just like, okay, that's the end of Bob's Bagels. Like, Bob seems like, well, what a waste of my day, basically, I guess.
Yeah.
Talking to Ivan in the quarry. I guess that took up most of his day. He
I
should have been
so.
Working at his garage.
Right, yeah.
But that's kind of it. Everybody kind of understands, and Johnny's back on, like, the...
On his...
Well, I guess I'm
track to figuring out what to do with
think
his
of
life.
Another idea. Yeah. And I guess... I get it. Like, a bagel shop probably wouldn't last in a town like this. I mean, it's a very small area.
I guess. But if they don't have one, I could see, like, I don't know.
I don't know, because they never make...
They don't really show much in the town, really, besides, like, the cafe.
They don't show much in the town.
They don't show any kind of... I mean, is there... And of course, the little general store.
Right. They never make any reference to chains or anything.
No.
It's not like they have a Dunkin' Donuts in this town
no.
or something like
yeah.
that. I don't know.
And maybe that's really all they have. They have, like, their little grocery store, one little tiny restaurant, and if you need other things, you go to Elmdale.
Yeah.
So...
No,
yeah.
And I think that brings up questions I'll have later about certain stores that open in this town that I don't understand how they're making it.
Oh, okay.
All right, so now
we're in the cafe.
Go to the cafe.
With David and Stevie again, celebrating.
Celebrating.
David's new career move,
his
I
new
guess.
Job.
Yeah.
This is his first job.
Yeah.
I mean, first job in this town.
Oh, yeah.
Being a Gap Kids model.
Right.
Wasn't quite a job, but he does say it was.
Right, yeah.
It was his first job.
Yeah.
And
so they're enjoying some champagne.
Yeah.
To celebrate.
And with the raisin.
It's a great, it's a great kind because it's the same kind that Twyla used to celebrate her mom's divorce,
right.
I think.
Okay.
But yes, she drops a raisin in it to release the bubbles.
Yes.
Which is super cute.
Right. So now we go back to the motel, and Moira is now in bed with Alexis.
Yes, like, and Alexis arm around her for a story. Yes. It's such a cute little moment. And Moira's story is super sweet.
Yes.
We see this is such a nice little interaction between them, because her story's about an adventurous, carefree, beautiful girl like her mother.
Yes.
Like, of course she has to turn it around to her.
Yes.
But it still is really just a very cute, sweet moment between the two of them.
But I didn't write it down, but I do like how the story starts about how there was a woman who wanted two sons, and Alexis goes, I don't like this story.
Right. Yeah. But then the sweet moment abruptly ends because Alexis kind of falls asleep and is on her arm. And when Moira, like, moves her arm,
she, like,
very abruptly, basically
she, like,
pushes her
with
off.
Her other hand.
Of course she wakes her up.
Yes. It is kind of funny. Because I thought it, you know, you think it's going to end with it just being very sweet. And even though she can't move her arm, she'll fall asleep and just lay there. No, she shoves her kid off.
No, she shoves her kid off of her and wakes her and everything else.
Yes.
But it was a little glimpse of a very sweet little moment between them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's the end.
Yeah.
That's the end of the episode.
Yep.
Wow. This is so great.
So, Carla, if this episode were an illness, would you bother going out to get medicine, or would you just let it run its course?
Oh, wow.
I don't know which one's the bad thing. I guess running its course is the bad one.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yes. Yeah, you're not really trying to help it out.
Yeah, I don't know. I like this episode. There's some fun things in it. I love all the David, Stevie, and really like the Moira Alexis. There's the Bob's Bagel part I was not into as much.
Right.
I would probably put it up around like Carl's funeral. Don't worry, it's his sister. Like maybe in between those.
Okay. So you're
like my new like number 13.
Number 12.
Number 12.
That's what it would be.
Yeah.
Wow. We don't discuss our rankings. We don't discuss any of that.
What, before?
Before
this.
Oh,
no. Yeah.
This is my new number 12.
No way.
It's right under Surprise Party and right above The Cabin. Mm. And I agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
I think the Alexis sickness is my favorite part of this episode. Mm-hmm. She and Moira, it's great to see the chemistry between the two of them.
Right.
The David Blasbarn stuff is fun, but I feel like there's better Wendy stuff to come and better Blasbarn stuff to come. And, you know, I don't know. If you hadn't seen this, you wouldn't know that. So maybe I have a weird advantage.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's interesting that the episode is called Bob's Bagels, and that's the least interesting part of the episode, or the stuff I had the least amount of fun with. I think it is tough to center episodes around
Johnny. I agree.
You know,
I was just sort of thinking the same thing.
Yeah, he's not the...
I think the other three are such big personalities that he does get a little bit lost in the...
Yeah, no, he...
In the shuffle a little bit.
He does. You have to have... One
they're so
centered
outrageous.
Member of this family. And
right,
that's
and
him.
That's him. Yeah.
So then, you know, in episodes like these, you know, they have to put him with Roland. They have to put him with Bob. And while they're fun, I kind of found Roland irritating in this episode. I found Bob super fun. But yeah, it just that's not a great part of this.
Yeah, I didn't mind Roland. I feel like Roland didn't have a huge part.
Yeah.
I thought he was fine.
He didn't
I don't
do
ever
much and maybe
find
that's...
a ton of irritation with him. I
no,
know, I know, I think we've talked before.
You and I have talked about that.
A lot of people very much dislike his character.
Right.
And I normally don't
dislike his character. I normally find what he does very funny, but this was just sort of irritating.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right.
But that's it.
That's Bob's Bagels.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. We appreciate it. And because of our recording issue, we'll be back with another episode 1 week from today. It'll be episode 6 of season 2, Moira versus Town Council.
Yes.
So we will talk to you then, and I don't know, see you in a week.
Warmest regards.